You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Good morning and welcome to At the Movies. You know, before we jump in, I want to make sure that your expectation is extremely high because I believe that God wants to do something amazing and defining in your life. You know, throughout the Bible, anytime Jesus was in an environment, we only read about those that were desperate enough to want him to do something different. So this morning, I'm challenging you to let this day be a defining moment in your life. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21, that the Holy Spirit himself had just shown up and changed the lives of 120 people in an upper room. So much so that as they began to speak in an unknown tongue, it says that men and women began to say, these people are drunk, they're crazy, out of their mind. And in verse 16 and 17, Peter stands up and he says, no, these people are not drunk. They've just had a defining moment where everything in their life came alive. And he says, this is that which was spoken about in the Old Testament by the prophet Job, where he said, in the last days, the Lord himself will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and sons and daughters will prophesy. They will say what God wants them to say. Young men will have visions. They will see what God sees, and old men will dream dreams. The motion picture of heaven will be dreamed in their life. And then in verse 21, it says, and those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning, as you're sitting here in service, I want you to allow your spirit to say, Jesus, let this day be my defining moment. I declare to you today, everything that is stale, dry, or that's on hold will come alive. Welcome to At the Movies.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for. You're searching in the dark, your sweat soaking through the floor. Buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind. Don't fight it, it's coming for you, running at you. It's only this moment, don't care what comes after. You're full of a dream, can't you see you getting closer? To surrender, cause you feel the feeling taking over. It's fire!
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Jeffries. Thank you. You'll have the money by the end of the day. Let's go. Phineas, hurry up. We're going to miss the train. Stand up straight. wipe that muck off.
Pinky up. Arm extended, elbow out. Sip, never slurp. Pinky in the air. Arm extended, elbow out. Keep your cup level. Gently lower your cup. Shall we do it again? Pinky in the air. Arm extended, elbow out. Gracefully.
Charity, hey, come here. Your dress. Is this how we've taught you to behave?
It's my fault, sir. I made her laugh.
Well, thank you for your honesty. Stay away from my daughter.
I don't know about y'all, but every time I see that clip, I'm like, oh no, he didn't. I don't know if y'all felt like that. I was like, oh no, Dad ain't just standing there. I would have been fired in jail for the rest of my life. Anybody, you see that? And I'm like, say what? And he looked at his dad like, you just saw that, right? You just, because it happened to me. It happened to me. This morning, I'm actually not going to preach very long with my speech. I really want to let the movie speak to itself. In the pre-clip to the video, I gave a verse in Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit was poured out and people's lives were filled. And because of the response to the Holy Spirit moving in their life, everybody thought that they were crazy to want such a God encounter. And Peter gets up and he says, hey, this is that which God had promised through his prophet Joel, that I would pour out my spirit in the last days on everybody. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. They're going to say what God says. Your young men are going to see visions, and your old men are going to dream dreams. You know, this week I was doing my own quiet time, and I knew the direction I was going to go, and I just had my own quiet time. And I love listening to a lot of different preachers, and they were preaching on dreams this week as I was listening to mine, and they said a couple of points, and I was like, oh, I'm not keeping that to myself. I got to tell somebody else. And so I'm going to steal some things that impacted my life this week and present them to you in my own way that God showed me. Is that okay? And so this morning, I want to talk very little, but I want to kind of take the movie from a prophetic viewpoint. I want to let the movie speak to you more than I'll speak to you, but I promise you God will speak to you. Is that okay if we tag it together? Here's the reason why is because if God promises to pour out his spirit and you to be able to speak the way he speaks, sees what he sees, and dreams occur like motion pictures, what is seen in heaven, you'll be able to see. I feel like many of us, as we are going through life, don't give ourselves permission to have the childish dream. The little boy, he's everything you ever want and everything you ever be is here right in front of you. I got more dances later. You got to, this is where you want to be. And when life shows, he has none of that. He goes to with his dad to work, and his dad is working in this real fancy house. And because this kid is like interacting with someone else and like, you know, he's living in a dream and he's making her have fun. Dad is just doing the work. And the uppity man tries to slap some sense into him and say, your dreaming with this girl ain't gonna happen. Has anyone ever tried to slap some sense into you with their words by telling you what you may already know? The kid knew that he was broke. He knew that. We saw his shoes. He had
dreams, because anything you ever want. Y'all don't need me to go through that again then. Anything you, y'all are like, no, absolutely not. Listen, I practiced with my kids last night, so y'all gonna get it all. And you will like it. You will like it. And so he's doing all of that. He's seeing and he's dreaming as a kid, but along the way, an adult says, ha, don't ever do that again. I'm here to speak to some of you whose dream has been slapped into sense. Get yourself together. Dreaming, that ain't going to happen. And so some of us used to dream crazy, stupid dreams that had the potential to be God-sized dreams. Some of us, even in our old age, still dream kid-like dreams, but we slap ourselves and say, I got a family. What am I thinking about going to college right now? What am I thinking about starting a business? I make six figures. I can't give that up to maintain just paying the bills in my really fancy house, even though this is where you want to be. It's everything you ever want. There's a verse in the Bible in Mark chapter 8, and then I'm going to show you this next one. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says this, then they came, Jesus and his disciples, to Bethsaida, and some brought a blind man, and he begged Jesus to touch him. And Jesus, watch now, took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of his village, outside of his community, outside of a surrounding that he was comfortable to, in. And when, this is Jesus in full effect, when he had spit on the man's eyes. Can I have a volunteer? I want this to come to life. If just one, is there be one? Just, I had nasal drip, and now is the perfect time to do this illustration. It's just, Jesus spit in the man's eyes, put his hands on him. Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked and he said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and the man's eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go to the village. This is how I pictured our picture. Jesus grabbing him by the hand, and as he's walking, he's saying, so tell me a little bit about you. And I realized the man probably said, man, I have a million dreams that lead me far away.
How'd you get out?
The window. Father's sending me to finishing school. I don't know what my future will be.
I do.
I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me that I call my own. Through the door, through where no one's been before, but it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care, so call me crazy.
Run away to a world that we desire.
sir. I know I don't come from much, but I will take care of your daughter and I will give her life as grand as this one. She'll be back. Sooner or later, she'll tire of your life, of having nothing, and she'll come running back home.
So if I can bring Mark chapter 8 alive, Jesus goes and he grabs this man by the hand. You're sitting on the front row, Pastor Jared, so you're going to have to help out, buddy. You never know what can happen sitting on the front row. So it says that he grabs the man by the hand and he pulls him from his village outside of the town. So imagine now, because if you read the story, you just see them going from one place to the other. But imagine that Jesus is not just going to walk the man and they're just going to be silent, like, right? But can you imagine Jesus going, "So what you dream about?" And imagine the man saying, "A million dreams keep me awake. It's like the vision that I see. I have a million of them, and I just want one." And he's just walking. He knows he's blind, but he's really asking him, "How much can I change? How much of an impact can I make based on what you're dreaming about?" So he walks him out. Jared, come on, man. You got to be in this, man. You got to be. You're like, you're not the blind man, bro. I know it's awkward to be holding my hand. But Taisha gets this all the time. You're getting it for the message. Okay, so we're walking, and he's walking, and he says, "Why y'all laughing?" She gets this all the time. So he walks him out into the village, and he's having a conversation. Imagine Jesus grabbing you by the hand. And instead of you just needing the miracle, why don't you dialogue with him a little bit about what you need him to do or what you're dreaming about? I know you have the need, but he wants to know what you're dreaming about. So the character in the movie says, "A million dreams are leading me away, and I can see it in my dreams, but I don't see it right now." And as you can see, he ends up knocking on the girl's door. Dad is there. And Dad slaps him again. She'll be back. She'll tire of everything that's involved with you. See, even as you're getting older,
You're getting closer to your dream. I'm coming after this girl. I'm coming after my promise. And the same enemy that tried to slap you in the sense after you decided I'm going for it shows up again when you're about to grab hold of the promise and looks at you and says, your promise will be back. You'll hand it over. You'll give it right back to me. You won't pay attention. You'll slip up. Thanks, Pastor Jay. And so he grabs the girl. They're dancing. Maybe big, you may be small, and something feminine. I don't know the words, but we practiced them yesterday. And they show the scene. Watch now. They show the scene of him holding the baby, which declares to me that the dream that he's dreaming about is not just going to stay with him. He wants to pass it on. So the dream that's on the inside of you can't just stay with you. It's got to be birthed out of you so that it continues after you. So they take this scene. They're about to have a baby. And out of nowhere, he's working a normal job. And we find him looking at a graveyard. Because in a graveyard are some of the best dreamers ever. Some of the most influential, world-impacting dreams. There are more dreams in the graveyard than there are alive today. And as I'm reading Mark chapter 8, I realize that there are five types of people in this room right now. The first one is, if you're taking notes, is people with no dream. Jesus said, I got to take you outside of where you are because I'm trying to identify based on this conversation whether there's something staring in you or not. That way, if it's nothing staring, then I've got to deliver something to you where no one can influence you. So there is people in this room that have absolutely no dream whatsoever. You're just trying to make ends meet. You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to make it. You had one, but you just killed it. You let it die because you're a little bit older. You're chasing just the normal things that everyone tells you you're supposed to chase. Make sure you get a house. Don't own the building. Don't own the company. Work for somebody. Get yourself a good job and retire. Don't you retire broke. Don't you take the risk. You don't have to be in church every week. You don't have to go to church every week. You can meet God right where you are. I know the Bible says don't forsake the gathering of friends and community. You are God yourself. See, we run through life. We chase after things that have absolutely no zeal at all. No passion at all. And we work up the corporate ladder, but it brings us no happiness. It might get us a ton of money. But at the end of the day, when life is over, we live with no dream. The second person in this building is one that has a stale dream. A person with a stale dream. You had it. You had it. We may be rich. We may be high. And then you look and you're. And you've forgotten about the fact that you were spinning at the beginning of the movie and the place was filled. And now you're working a dead-end job. You're working just to survive, or you're just living life. Anybody ever feel like you're just going through the routine? Anybody ever been in a rut? Anybody currently in one? Because all of us are working towards something, but very few of us are working for the dream because we don't allow ourselves to do it anymore. So the dream becomes stale. It's either dated, it's delayed. It's something that once drove you, but now it hurts you. You know how it is. Oh, I wanted to sing, but I can't do that no more. I got kids. How am I going to travel? But you can get in church and sing and lift up the name of Jesus. You can still do it, but we just got to find a creative way, even though you might be 59. I have no clue what you once dreamed about, but I can tell you that Jesus never sees a dream dead if he puts it on the inside of you. So he grabs the man and he takes him outside and he's walking and the man is telling him everything that he's thinking about because Jesus is trying to identify, okay, does this man have no dream? Is this dream stale? Or I wonder if this man's dream is vague. Jesus, I need to be healed. Of what? Because if you look throughout the gospel, sometimes Jesus will see people broke down, lame, and he'll go, What can I do for you? Jesus, you know, you see me. I'm on a bed. I can't walk. I'm reaching out for you, yelling your name versus walking over to you. You see me. But sometimes we can be vague. We'll ask you, we'll say, hey, is there anything we can pray for you? Say, more strength. More strength. Anybody ever do that? My favorite phrase is unspoken. That means I don't want to tell you. Because if I told you, it makes me vulnerable. To let it out, to say that I want a new job, a new house, I want to own my own business, is frightening because I'm either afraid, I made it a stale dream, or it's just vague. I want to own my own business. What kind? A dream not written down is an idea. It's an idea. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2, write the vision, make it plain, so those who read it can run. If you're dreaming about something and you haven't written it down, it's a good idea. But until you write it down, it means nothing. You know, I had a goal at the beginning of the year. It was my private goal. I'm going to tell you what it is. Only Taisha knew. I wrote it down. I said, I want to preach somewhere across the country this year. I just want to preach somewhere across the country. And early in the year, I got an invite. I got an invite from a pastor friend in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Amish country. And so, and I'm crazy. And so, he says, I want you to come for our midweek service. We're going to have all four of our campuses. They're going to come together in our main building, and I want you to preach. And I was like, whoa, I just wrote that down. And I saw God do it. And so my question to you is the thing that you're chasing for, is it written down? Because if not, it's just a stale dream. It's not even moving. Oh, here's one that I realized that as Jesus was walking with the man, I wonder if Jesus looked at him and worried if he had the wrong dream, which I like the term a distracted dream. You know how it is. A million dreams will keep me. I want to own a circus, but then I'm doing Amway. Anybody ever do that? I did it like every year in college. Listen, true story. I was passionate about two things. I was passionate about sports, and I was passionate, watch now, about people and ministry. All right? But in college, for me, different than Taisha, I had no money. Like, Taisha saved her money. I didn't know a lot about money. I was disciplined, but I didn't appreciate money like I do now. And so I decided, because someone told me that I was really good in marketing, I decided to create my own marketing company at 21, knowing nothing about it. Unlimited Potential Marketing Group. We help your dreams come true. Y'all don't see me doing that now, do you? Because it was the wrong dream. My dream was that I loved athletics and I loved ministry. But boy, did I get distracted for months at a time. I spent $500 of money I didn't have on a marketing plan and a brand. We can have no dream. A vague dream, a stale dream. We can have a dream that's completely wrong. This morning, my assignment is to do what Jesus did, is to pull you out, to have a conversation with you, to spit in your eye, if you will allow. Any volunteer? Spits in his eye, he lays his hand on his eye, and then he says, now what do you see? Watch. The man says this, he says, I see people that look like trees. Oh, wait a second. So what you're telling me is that what you see, you've already seen. So your dream is not dead. It's stale. So you've already seen people. So the man had already seen before because he said there are people that look like trees. So you've already seen trees. So the man had already had an image that he was trying to see. So this morning, some of you, my assignment is to fan the flame. To stir up the gift of that childhood dream that was on the inside of you. to get it running again, to get it moving again, to say that God wants to pour out his spirit on you so that you dream crazy dreams. Because at some point, you and I will not be here, but there will be a lineage. After us. And when you watch through the movie, in the clip I just showed you, they shut down his job. He runs home. It's his daughter's birthday. And all he has to give his daughter is a little spinning little lamp thing. And they go from the scene. And after the little girl gets it, she walks over to the corner and she says, "And every night I lie in bed, colors fill my head." And what I saw there was that he had been declaring to her that there is going to be a season when, girl, you are going to dream too. So he didn't just keep it to himself. When she was in the womb, he just started singing, "A million dreams are keeping me away." You got to see the movie if you haven't seen it. The little girl starts singing. And then he decides, "I'm going to go for it. I am going to take a chance, and I'm going to go after my come alive dream." He speaks life into his dream, but he runs into a moment where it's not working out. And his baby girls give him a little bit of encouragement. Watch your dream come alive.
Do you sell any more tickets
today? A few, yeah. Most everyone was rushing home. It's Friday, but we sold a few.
I think you have too many dead things in your museum, Daddy.
Do you?
She's right. You need something alive.
Go to sleep, both of you.
Something sensational.
That's a big word.
Your word. Something that isn't stuffed. Like a mermaid. Or a unicorn.
How's it looking, girls?
Hey, you looking for freaks? I know where you can find one of them.
Really?
Come on, girls.
Hello.
Sir, you shouldn't be here.
I'm sorry. Who's doing this singing? It's you, isn't it?
Sir, I have to ask you to leave.
You are so talented, blessed. Extraordinary. Unique. I would even say beautiful.
Please leave me alone.
They don't understand, but they will. W.D. Wheeler, brother and sister?
Yes, sir. Yes,
terrific.
Sir.
And what do you do?
Trapeze.
Trapeze. Okay.
You know, people aren't going to like it if you put us on the stage.
Oh, I'm counting on it.
This is over your
entire body.
Terrific. I don't need to see it.
How heavy you are. Do you have a number for that?
I prefer not to say,
but... Just between you and me. 500 pounds. 750 pounds?
750 pounds!
What is your name?
Vasily Palavrov, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna change that name. I think you're Irish.
We have a son.
That's good. I need it five times bigger.
And I want it everywhere. Carriages, sides of trains, trolleys, crates, milk bottles, everywhere they look. Barnum's American Museum.
You stumble through your days, got your head hung low, your sky's a shade of gray, like a zombie in a maze.
Two, please.
You're asleep inside, but you can shake awake, cause you're just a dead man walking. Think about your only option, but you can flick the switch and brighten up your darkest day. Sun is up and the color's blinding. Take the world and redefine it. Leave behind your narrow mind, you'll never be the same. Come alive, come alive. Go and light your light. Let it burn so bright. Reach it up to the sky, and it's open wide. Your legs rip fire. The world becomes a fantasy, and you're more than you could ever be. Get to dreaming with your eyes wide open. Whoa. And you know you can't go back again to the world that you were living in. Get to dreaming with your eyes wide open. So come alive.
Waiting.
For what?
For you. They don't know it yet, but they are gonna love you. Trust me.
Tom! Up, up!
I see it in your eyes. You believe that lie, that you need to hide your face. Afraid to step outside, so you lock the door, but don't you stay that way.
No one lives in no shadows. You and me, we know how that goes.
Cause once you see it, oh, you'll never, never be the same.
It'll be the light that's guiding, bottle up and keep on shining.
You can do it, it's one of you.
You cannot be afraid.
Come alive, come alive. Go and light your life, get it burning.
I like service.
Hey, that's enough. Hold it. Inside, all right.
Look at them wrong. We don't want your kind. Get out of here. I'm tight to freaks. Your master's calling.
That's quite enough, sir.
Nothing more to look at.
Reprint this review in every paper in New York. Half-price tickets to anyone who brings it in.
Thank you.
So Jesus pulled the man outside of the village. He walks him outside of the village. He spits in the man's face. He rubs the man's eyes. He says, what do you see? The man says, I see trees that look like people walking around. Jesus then again does it again, lays his hand on his eyes once again, now says, what do you see? And the man says, I see clearly. Jesus looks at the man and says, go back to your house, but don't go back to your village. Because you know you can't go back again to the world that you were living in. Because you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. Don't you go back to the place where you weren't dreaming no more. You're going to go back to your house, but it ain't in that village. Come alive. I have spoken life into you. I took you by the hand. You told me that you got a million dreams that's keeping you awake. I was testing to see if your dream is dead, if it's stale, if it's vague, or if it's distracted. But what I've come to realize is that your dream is none of those four. The dream that you have is a God-honoring, culture-defying, heaven-impacting, seemingly impossible dream. We need a dream that seems impossible, that glorifies God, that shakes your community, that seems like it cannot be contained. Come alive. You will not go back to the community, to the world you live in. You're going to dream with your eyes wide open. What do you see? I see clear now. Because you touched me again. You could have let me just see a blur. Trees could have been fine. No, I want you to see clearly, but you ain't going back to that neighborhood again. As I close my message, my assignment today has been to cause some childlike dreams to occur today. Today we have our kids in here on purpose because I knew that they would know some of the words and they probably seen it 38 times. And me, my son, we were singing the words earlier, and I wanted to do with the I told my wife, I love this part. What? Every time I watch this movie, I told my wife, I said, every time I watch this movie, I start dreaming again. Let me tell you why dreams are so important to me. Because over the last 2 years that we've been pastoring City Place Church, there have been moments where I dreamed about you, but I didn't see you. And I told God, maybe this is not what you showed me when we moved. And I can be up here, but my dream is stale. And I can get distracted and I can start doing stuff like, you want me to sell that policy? You want me to work here? You want me to work there? Because maybe this was missed. And then I go back to the dreams that I may have given up that God asked for, which was athletics. And then I go, well, God, what are you doing? Come on. And he's like, let me take you from where you are and tell me about your dream again, Damon. Are you dreaming with your eyes wide open, Damon? Because you and your wife talked a lot about multiple campuses and thousands of people giving their heart to the Lord. Come on, Damon, tell me, repeat back to me what I showed you. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. You will prophesy, see visions, and dream dreams. Damon, repeat back to me what I already showed you, because you've already told the church. You've already told your friends. You're already out there on me. Is the dream that's on the inside of you, is it dead? Is it vague? Do you just want a healthy church? Break it down. Is it distracted? Damon, the dream that I gave you is God-honoring, culture-defying, seemingly impossible. You cannot impact thousands of people, Damon, on your own. Exactly. Let me get you out of your neighborhood. But you will never go back to the funk that you were in. You're going to dream with your eyes wide open. This morning, as we close, I want to pray for you. I feel like there's some dead dreams. And just so y'all know, the newspaper that was talking about them and calling them a circus was a slap. The men outside, you better take them back, was a slap. But this time, he was like, you know what? we're gonna build off of this momentum, printing in every paper. Everybody that brings in the paper gets half off. Now you see the rest of the movie, and you'll see where he ends up. You'll see where he ends up. But this morning, I want to pray for you. I'm closing. I want to pray for you. I want your dreams to come alive. No more dead things. If God showed it to you a while back, chase it. Chase it. If we're going to fail, let's fail forward. Not fail because we killed it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Dream big. Reach beyond your wildest imaginations. There's a kid on the inside of you. Reach. All my kids in the building, say yeah. You dream beyond your wildest imagination. Let God speak to you, young kids. At your age right now, don't ever put a limit on the size of God. Jesus can blow your mind. At the age that you are right now, you will supersede every single person in this room if you choose to let him be amazing in your life.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.